appreciate it. But if you want to hang around a little bit, we'll tell you what to bring, you know, to do. Now, we will be having hot dogs on Thursday night, but some are going to bring their own personal steaks, okay? So now, if you bring your own steak with you Thursday night, you'll have to do your own cooking, too. But somebody will be making hot dogs and, you know, and a few things for you Thursday night. Now, Friday night, the Lord willing, and the fish being supplied, we will have another big fish fry, and that's a lot of fun, you know, and a lot of, we had a pile probably this much, you know, last year, and they're really good, fresh fish. So, you know, we'll be doing that, and you just don't worry about the, you don't worry about your meals. You bring you something, snacks and drinks, you know, and all, and to the ones with the parents with the kids, make sure you bring them drinks. We have tea, we have water, we have some bottled drinks and things for each meal. But bring your own personal drink, you know, for yourself and your kids to make sure, you know, that we do everything. Okay. All right. I guess we got everything. So Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for being you, because, Lord, that way we can depend on you. We thank you that you never change. That way we don't have to worry. We can just follow out what in the lines of your footsteps and see where that you're leading us. Have your way with each and every one. Bless the little bride around the world. It's not hard to ask that for you, Lord, because you promised it. You promised, too, to be here with us today. You said if any two or three would be gathered in my name, you would be in the midst. So as we come together, we believe you're here because you promised you'd be here. And, Lord, then as we speak about your word, we pray that you would open our hearts. As we sing, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, because we want to see you and to walk therein. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Bless those that are sick. Brother Richard are asking about one of his family cousins or something or whatever this morning. We forget which one it was, but it, some of his members of his family was real sick with cancer. And we ask you, Lord, to just reach down and touch and be with that person. Have your way. Lord, let your light shine in each one of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Oh, two, we got an email from brother, you remember brother Solomon Jacob, the brother that's got the double citizenship between India and Israel, and he's in Israel doing, he got sent us a long list of what's going on in the services they'd been in and all, and told everybody to say hello, you know, told me to tell everybody hello from him. And two, now he is, and we're not doing this as a church now, if you want to help, he needs like $7,500 to buy some property that they're getting for a building to put tapes in and things and all kind of services and things. And if you want to send him any money, be feel free to do so. Well, I'll give you the address, etc. You can take care of it, all right? I really appreciate the brother. I thought he was a good brother. Really enjoyed, you know, his doing. And evidently, he must know a lot about us because he knew Brother Prakash was coming Thursday. So maybe he's listening. So that's good then. We'll have a good time in the Lord, okay? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now I'm going to read a little bit more here. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now piled it on us. Amen. Right? Abounded. Piled it on to us. Having made known unto us the mystery. What is the mystery? To adopt us, the prophet said. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things were. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All right. Now let's go to Romans Because what we're going to do today is just kind of like a review of what we've been talking of. Let's go to Romans 8, and let's start reading. We generally start with verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, where? In us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, we're just going to kind of review this morning and, just try to cover what we've been preaching on now for, this is message number 13 on this about the adoption. And we've been talking about adoption in three stages that we've been talking about. All right, and in that, the reason I chose to do that this morning and then this afternoon, we'll pick up the and start on the third stage. We have basically been dealing with the number one stage, number two stage of adoption. And I know a lot of times when I lay so much in, and I don't, if you notice, I do a lot of reviewing. Maybe because my mind is getting old, and I read a lot, review a lot. But still, I think it's needful for each one of us because, sometimes we forget. Because a lot of people think a preacher is just one who, they'll give you a short sermon here, a short sermon there, a short sermon there. And you don't know how to tie anything together. And at the end of a month, you know no more about it being tied together than you did when you started. But I'm not that away. And I'm sorry if I offend you or, irk you a little bit by being slow and just gradually going and then review. Because, a lot of times we forget, well, what did he say on message number two? He said, well, go back and listen to number two. Well, I ain't got time to listen to number two. What did he say? Well, let's just do a little bit of reviewing this morning, and that way we can at least know where we are up to the position we're talking about. All right? And, in doing that, then we can follow it better. All right? As I said, we're trying to cover adoption in three stages because that way you can get a better understanding. Now, before you go and your computer clicks and your brain, not necessarily them out there clicking, but, the brain. And, I know that Brother Branham covers adoption and how he covers it because we've already covered it. And, and he basically says, like position in Christ, he'll bring it out and he'll say, now your birth is not your adoption. Your adoption is your placing. All right. Now, that's true. Wonderful. We believe that. We follow that. That's what we're talking about. All right. But we're also talking about how that Paul here in Romans, he's covering it to the basis that he says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, how did we become the children of God? Oh, I was born of this eternal seed in me. I always was a son of God. I said, okay, go believe what you want to. That's your problem. That's your doings, But I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that you and I were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb, and went forth a liar. And that being lost and doomed and on our way to hell, and the prophet of God saying that he was a hybrid, and that being because of the sin in the garden. Now, any of these statements I make, send me a note. I'll be glad to send them to you. All right. And in the fall that happened in the garden, it brought us into Satan's domain and made us kinfolks to the devil. You may think you're worth something, but you're worth about probably $3 right now. Maybe the cost of living's up enough. Used to be a dollar and something, but, you know, enough potash and petroleum and this, that, and the other. You really, this morning you really were stood in front of the mirror, you know, and you fixed up everything. But just remember, you're just a bag of dirt. And that's, you know, and God's not dealing with that bag of dirt very much. That's why he's going to change it one day, but... You know, not get a new one, because we don't believe in that. We believe in this body being redeemed. Jesus had nail prints in his hands when he raised, so why worry about the other? A lot of people believe you're going to get a new body. It's this body made new. You got quotes from Brother Branham said, new body. That's a fine. You got different kind of quotes, but that's what I'm giving you, like adoption. He'll give you a statement in one message that will say, your birth is not your adoption. See? Your adoption is your placing. All right? See, now he's giving you an understanding of what he's talking about. See? For the time and the doing, so is it throughout the message. All right? Now, but see, we know then that in the natural story of adoption that we adopt other people's children. See? You know, we adopt other, you know, kids that don't belong to us, they were not born to us, etc. But in the Old Testament, as the prophet would be using it, the children of Israel, they took the adoption, actually, and you might not like this, but it is was really a Roman custom, or one of the back before then, and they inherited it into their doings, and they started adopting their children. All right? See, because that would be, you know, in other words, it wasn't that God looked down and said, hey, I like that, I'll put it in the Word. No, it was already in the Word. It's just somebody else coming along maybe before and coming up with something, and they inherited the thing of adopting their own children. And when they get to be about 12, 13, 16, whatever age you want to make it, you go ahead. They have the bar mitzvah, some way you pronounce that big old word. And you have that, and they adopted into the family a child that was born into the family. All right? See, and that's the natural story of adoption. All right? The Jews in the natural would adopt their own children and then give them the signet of authorities, the things that would happen, and the coat of many colors. All right? But then taking that, see, you can't lay, as I've tried to get you to see, you can't lay everything on the natural and try to come over into the spiritual. Because when you do, you're going to run aground. So in the spiritual part of it now, see, in the spiritual part, we have to find a way to become the children of God. All right? See, because God ain't going to adopt it. He ain't going to adopt the devil's kids. He's going to adopt his own kids as the authority, the positioning, etc., you know, coming. So he's not going to adopt the devil's children. So we have to find a way to become God's children. How do we do that? By the new birth. All right. See, then we're born again by the new birth, bringing us into the family of God as the children of God. See, all right. Now, that new birth then makes us a child of God. But Paul, in explaining to the Galatians that a son, even though he's born a son, he's no different than a servant. He's typing from the Old Testament, or the use of the adoption by the children of Israel, and bringing it over, though, into a New Testament understanding. And you know, and he's talking to the Galatians. Well, the Bible's not written to a sinner. See, it's written to Christians, those that are in Christ. All right? So then he was telling the Galatians that they were born again by the new birth, but that they needed to come and grow up the stature of a perfect man, as Peter would bring out in his teachings, because I believe they had those things. The 120 in the upper room came forth with what would be known as the faith of the fathers. And as they did, then they were the ones to use to teach others. And then as like Paul, etc., ones coming along, Paul especially would talk about him. He comes in, he gets the new birth. Well, he doesn't get the new birth at anywhere like the disciples did. If you say he did, you got a problem. You got to get the sowing of the seed. He got his eyes blinded. His eyes were open. He received a new birth. He goes to the backside of the desert for 3.5 years. And then he comes out preaching the same thing the rest of them did. Why? God opened his eyes because he was a prophet. All right. But he had showed him the grace, and he was standing then with the faith of the fathers, because Peter would say even that Paul said things hard to be understood. All right. And they talked about this adoption, this bringing into the family. All right. And then Paul, as I said, writing in Romans, he starts out telling them that you're the children of God. Your new birth makes you a child of God. All right. But it only makes you a baby, desiring the sincere milk of the word. It's just the earnest of our inheritance. Are we in the scriptures? See? And then when it is, we must grow in grace and knowledge up the stature of a perfect man to come back where the disciples were. All right? And then knowing that the disciples never received the headstone, because your prophet said it hadn't come yet. So, if you want to believe that, that's all right. If you don't, everybody else thinks, oh, this one was adopted, that was adopted. They were for the time they were in. It's like the prophet of God said, outside of this day, there was not a time for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Direct quote. But Paul and Peter and them were the manifested sons and daughters of God for their age. But he's talking about adoption coming to the end time to bring us to a position we'll get this evening, to wit, the redemption of the body. All right. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, and you know it because you've heard me over and over say it, I'm not concerned about the redemption of the body. The change. Or go by the grave, come up. I'm not concerned about that, because that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about, to wit, to understand about the redemption of the body. All right? So that's where we're headed to, is to have an understanding. And this day is the only day we could have one, because that's the hour that we're living. All right. But see, we become a child by the new birth. All right. Then we grow in grace and knowledge in that new birth until we come to the place, see, to where that God can use us. And we covered how that the adoption is in three stages, because the Lord Jesus went through the stages. We were comparing what he went through as to what we go through, correct? All right. See, Brother Branham talks about how that Jesus on the River Jordan and all, he was identified as a child of God. All right. But there you only hear, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. Because that was the beginning. That was an example to you and I. He did not need the new birth to make him a child of God. He was born God. All right. But he was going through that for you and I. To where we could come through those stages, see? All right, so stage one, he was identified. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right? See, then we like to make things applied to him or something, but not to us, because we have problems seemingly saying that when we receive the new birth, you realize God is saying, I'm pleased to dwell. He's identifying you by giving you the new birth. He's identifying you as a child of God. He's pleased to dwell in you. Maybe not like he wants to. I'll agree with that now. But still, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, no matter how mean our kids get, we're still our kids. Right? I've never disowned one of the kids yet. You notice I said yet, but, you know. But see, you don't have to worry about it. They are children, and no matter what they would ever do, they're our children. And that's why the prophet of God would cover it then, that using the Old Testament example, that if that child never came to a position to be able to be trusted, he was never adopted into the family. But it didn't mean he was pushed away from the eating table. It didn't mean he was thrown out, you know, and left home. You know. No, you see, you don't carry your type too far. He wasn't thrown away just because that he was a child. He still ate at the Father's table. He still had his inheritance, as we read here. See? Even Jacob and, what is it, Jacob and Esau? See? They both had an inheritance. Jacob just wanted the birthright. See, and you could get a double portion on those forms. But the thing of what I'm saying, he says in verse 15 that we've received the Spirit, not the spirit of bondage, again unto fear, but we've received the Spirit of adoption. The new birth is the Spirit of adoption to adopt us into the family of God. All right? But that doesn't positionally place us. That just identifies us in the body as the children of God. All right? Sons and daughters of the living God. To grow in grace and knowledge then. Being born again, as the Scripture would say. All right? But see, the Lord Jesus had an identification time, River Jordan, where he was identified. But then on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we were bringing the other night, see, then you hear him say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him." Matthew 17. See, he was adopted into the family. All right? Now, here's where that we miss it a lot, too, as I tried to explain there. You look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And in his early ministry, there were great signs and wonders. But in the last part of his ministry, when he came to authority, he's going to Calvary. Right? Very little happens from there. But a wonderful thing does happen. He goes to Matthew 24 and preaches those seals. All right? We compared it with Brother Branham's ministry. Right? Brother Branham, you can argue all you want to about where he was adopted at. I believe he was adopted there in Arizona in 63 when the angels come down. You can argue the point. I'm not arguing with nobody because I ain't got time. I'm a preacher of the gospel, not arguing the gospel. You know, all right? And see, then whatever you say, we all would have to agree that he did come to adoption somewhere. All right? So then you worry about the point where you argue about it. All right? But see, Brother Branham then, once he comes through, he's got a great ministry. 500,000 people, 300,000 people. Great signs and wonders are happening. All kind of healings, the dead raised, the sick healed, all kind of speaking the word. But then when he comes to Arizona and those seals is preached, he said, "I'll lose thousands of my friends." And he wound up preaching to 30 people in a trailer out there in Arizona. Now, the meetings, he had meetings of pretty good size, but you know what I'm talking about. Once he came to the position of what we call the third pull, then it seemed to be a whole lot less about taking place. See, it don't look right, does it? I say that because I don't want us to get a thing of looking at adoption and headstone and things like that. It's so high until nobody can find it or never reach it. Well, let's don't make it so easy till everybody in the world just stumbles into it. Right. Listening to Brother the other day preaching about it, and I think it's Brother Richard, but anyhow, you know, people come into message in 3 months, they know all about the seals. Yeah. You know. Why? Because they read the book. Yeah. Well, boy, that's a lot. They know all about the message in 3 months. They can straighten everybody else out that's in the message, been in it for 40 years. Yeah. But they can straighten you out, boy, because they're, you know, well, that's all right. I'm not trying to straighten nobody out but me. I'm the only guy I'm trying to straighten out. Now, if you reap the benefits from it and let it straighten you out, that's fine. But I'm just working on me because that's the only one I can work on. I'm not going to beat you to death like most of the preachers do about your hair, your dress, your clothes, or this, or that, or the other, and never preach the truth. I'm going to preach the Word and let the Word deliver. And then if you're a hypocrite, if you don't do what the Word says. That's where Brother Dale gets plain when he says things, but you're just a plain old hypocrite. You go out and cut your hair and do these things, sisters, then you just prove you're lost. Ain't no need in playing. See? You're lost. Then you go get saved. And then it'll automatically take care of itself. See, that's the way Brother Dale preaches, but I know I'm not understood about that. But now listen. See, the Lord Jesus came to a place of authority. Manifestation. Authority. His name was just as good on the checkbook as his Father's. Brother Randall said, God gives you, when you are born again Christian, he said he gives you a check. You got the checkbook, you know, you got everything, and Jesus' name is signed at the bottom, right? So whatever you need, you just sign your name. I mean, you don't sign, you just fill in what you need. Then the next step is what? Your name's as good on the checkbook. Then he gives you where you can fill in what you need and sign your own name. Now, that was the prophet's definition of showing us grace and knowledge, our growth development, our child training, see, coming up through the stature of a perfect man, and coming out to show us Jesus Christ living in you. Because remember now, what was our one thought that we kept making and kept emphasizing and will keep emphasizing? In your natural adoption, the father hires a tutor, right? Which is not related to him, maybe, or something. But he hires a tutor. But not so in the spiritual. See, in the spiritual, Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost is your tutor. Well, now, the Holy Ghost and the Father is the self-same spirit, or Jesus had two daddies. Now, I'm quoting Brother Brown. So now, if the Holy Ghost and the Father is a self-same spirit, then the tutor came into you at the new birth, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Almighty God. Brother Brown says, you have in you by the new birth what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not that you've got a father to do and listen a little bit, and a son doing this, and a Holy Ghost doing this. No, that's only for breaking it down for dispensational understandings. But see, the tutor is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Father. So when this doing, the Father is inside of you and I. So what have I always taught you about adoption? Most people think adoption is the Father leaving the scene and the Son coming on the scene, you know. I've never agreed with that. I don't believe it. In spiritual adoption, that's natural adoption, is all right. But in spiritual adoption, or in the body of Christ, it's the Father coming on the scene in His children, because that's what Jesus was. Jesus was God made manifest in human flesh. You agree? The Father made manifest in flesh. Well, you ain't nothing but a oneness. Well, all right. What are you? Two-ness or three-nesses or whatever? Let's get all the nooses out of the way and go on, forget it. But listen. See? Jesus had a River Jordan identification. Brother Branham had a time of identification. Jesus had a Mount of Transfiguration experience. Brother Branham had a Mount of Transfiguration experience. You and I must have the same thing. We must have a River Jordan experience of the new birth to bring us in, to make us the children of God, the offspring of God, as Paul would call it. And then we must grow in grace and knowledge till we come to the where that we can have the authority invested into us. It's like we come in the message, we've been there, and this brother had been in the church, first church we were in, and boy, he'd get up, and he'd heard Brother Branham. And he'd get up and he'd say, I take every spirit in here under my control. I thought, bud, you sure made a challenge. Yeah. Because Brother Branham didn't do that in his early ministry. It took him a while before he ever come to the position of saying, I take everything in here under my control. He knew that angel was standing there for the reason he could do it. See? It wasn't him anyway, was it? It was Christ. All right. But you understand now? See, but then what we've got to do, is we've got to come to the third stage of it, which will be the completion or the finishing of the redemption of the body. And we'll get on it this afternoon to cover, where we're at. But to just look at it, see, full sonship comes into existence at Mount of Transfiguration. All right? Now, full sonship came into existence, Mount of Transfiguration. Okay? Then he goes from there straight to Calvary. As I said, very little preaching done, but the greatest of all, he preached those seals in Matthew 24 on his way to Calvary. All right? So have we understood the seals? I thought the seals was to reveal the complete plan of redemption. Is that right? So that it would mean body, spirit, and soul, right? See, this prophet come to do something that none of the rest of them couldn't do. Paul could tell you about a change of the body, but he never attained it. He could tell you how you changed a moment, twinkle of an eye, right? But he never attained unto it. See? But somebody's going to have to attain unto it. See, even Brother Branham didn't attain unto it. See? So they're waiting on you and I to reach a position, see, to where that we can see that we are the children of God. All right. Now, I just gave you some quotes because I know that in preaching a lot of times I just jump across something. And I've tried to make the emphasis of the three stages of grace, or the three stages of adoption, in the basis of showing you that it's just a deeper one, because really I don't believe in three stages. I don't believe in three works of grace. And you say, wait just a minute. No, I don't believe in three works of grace. I believe in three stages of grace. Because see, if you call it works, you got a problem. All right? Three stages: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Three stages of your new birth. All right. Now, justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. So it's stages of the same thing. So is your adoption. You're adopted into the family of God by the new birth. You become heirs, joint heirs. You don't have to grow up to become a joint heir. That's why Paul calls it in Galatians, said, though he be heir of all.
Right. Amen.
See? Read Galatians 4 there. Though he become heir of all, but yet he's like a servant. Now, that's what I said. Now, we take that as the wrong way, and that's why I've tried to emphasize that the Lord Jesus in the great ministry, and the Brother Branham in the great ministry that he had, and then seemingly at the end of it, when it gets toward the opening of the Word, more that it seems to taper off. But as I said, now remember, a child is born into the family. Paul is not saying that he's a servant. Now, you ever been up to Biltmore House? All right. Those were built in slave days and things, you know, kind of in that order. And they had a brown laundry and they had a white laundry. Now, you know the difference, right? The white laundry was for the owners and the people. But they had a brown laundry, which was for the slaves or the people who were workers. All right. So now don't get that kind of an idea about being born into the family of God. Well, I'm no different than a slave. Now, that's not what Paul is saying. Slaves don't eat at the master's table. Right? Slaves eat at their own meals. Brother Brady used to tickle me to death when we were talking about over there and helping and cooking and doing the thing for that queen. And he said, there we was cooking that queen's old dog a steak, and we was having to eat what we could. And he finally got even with the dog. Yeah. Because the dog killed some chickens and he killed the dog. But the point I'm trying to get you to see, if you're a child of God, glory.
Amen.
You know, God hears babies more than he hears grown-ups. Right?
Amen.
You remember when your baby was born, why you just every little thing ever moved him? Why, yes, honey. Yeah, honey, let me do this. Let me do that. No, don't fall down now. Let me hold you up, you know. Let me take care of you. And then after a while, you say, listen, get up and walk. I ain't taking care of you all your life. Huh? Then one day, you come to the point and say, hey, get you a job. You know, go to work for a living. Make some money. See? It don't sound right, does it? See? And that's the way God raises his children. See? He tutors us, but yet still remember, we're joint heirs. If you're just born again today, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I know the great brother up yonder, he preaches, you know, the two Lord's message, and he said that Jesus was just half God. Well, I'd be satisfied with being a half God. Because that's a whole lot better than no God. Right? You know, but the brother ain't right. The Bible's telling you. You're joint heirs. If Jesus was Almighty God, then whatever he has, I have. Just by the new birth. You don't have to wait to authority of adoptions and all this, that, and the other. See, that's what people get it in their mind. Well, ain't nobody got nothing, so we just sit down and wait on the bus to pull up. Well, just make sure you're at the bus depot. You remember the story I told you? Brother Prakash, he came in, you know, and he's got these things down. Man, he can tell you every time you're moving. He can tell you every bus that goes from what town to what town, because that's the way they travel over there. And he came in one day, and we was talking about it, and he said, "You got to take me to the bus depot." I said, "Brother Prakash, there ain't no bus depot in Gainesville." I took him to Athens a couple of times, because I knew where the bus depot was in Athens. And he said, "No, there's one in Gainesville." I said, "No, sir, it used to be down at the train station." Well, it was. The bus depot and the train station was the same place. And I said, no, we got to go to Athens. He said, "You don't have to go there." He said, "Dial this number right here and find out." I dialed a number. I said, "Just a bus depot in Gainesville?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Where's it at?" "You used to be down at the train station." He said, "No, sir, we're no longer there." He said, "You know where the tractor place is?" I forgot what the name of Holland's tractor place. Piedmont Tractor. And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "There's the bus depot." Brother Cash said, "I told you." But my point is, listen, as babies, children, we can cry out to our Father and He heals us and delivers us and guides us. It's not what growth development. Healings and things are not based upon growth development. Healings is based upon the basis of whether or not you can believe it. See? All right, but we're born into the family of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then we can expect to come. And then only can we expect to come to a position of authority. See? You know? But see, I just want you to read some of the things, because I'm saying now, listen, here's my point. I've kind of with background a little bit, but here's the point of what I want you to see. Is we look at authorities, we look at adoption, and we just place it at one spot. All right, and here's, and I'm over there, you know. If I can ever get there, boy, things going to happen. We first come in the message, boy, people would say, you know, they tell me, say, "Boy, one of these days we won't be able to speak that word." I made a simple statement then that I still make. I said, we got to get the word before we can speak the word. Plain language. That was my point then. That's my point now. That's why in the Bible you do not see a novice writing the scriptures. Right. You don't see a babe in Christ writing the Bible. It's those who are tutored in the gospel that writes the Bible. See? Because you can't trust a baby and all, because he's blabbering too much. All right. But now, I want us to just read some things, and I want us to not try to destroy in our mind a thought, but keep a thought in our mind that there is an adoption to be reached. There is a position to be reached. There's a place to be reached that authority comes into position. And as it comes into position, then we can see and expect things to take place in a greater development than we do as when we're just babies in Christ. But I don't want us to forget the point that we're born into the family of God. And that is God adopting us into His family. That's why Paul calls it in Romans 8:15, calls it the spirit of adoption, because it's the new birth. Then he goes on down to the 19th verse and talking about the sons and daughters of God, the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, that the whole world is groaning, waiting. Now the Bible doesn't tell you that the world is waiting for babies to be born, babes in Christ. It doesn't say that. It's waiting for sonship to reach a position. I even read you all the other translations off of that, you know, where that they would say this, the right of sonship. And they kept the point of all the translators kept the point of this adoption to run into the right place. But I don't want you to forget that when Brother Branham says we have something now. Now here's the way it goes, you know. Now. Well, what that means, Brother Dale, he had it, and nobody else didn't have it. Now, well, I kind of like just believe what he says. But I understand the full story, too, and I've tried to express it to you just now. We're not making this thing so easy until you can come into the body of Christ today and stumble into it and be so up at the headstone and gone out of here. I've never looked at nothing like that. You say, well, what about some people might come in? Right. But they're linked to you and I. God can quicken the word in a hurry to somebody. He quickened the disciples. They had 3.5 years of ministry. He quickened them. They had the faith of the fathers. He opened their understanding of the scriptures. That didn't give them the new birth. Read your Bible. He opened a road to Emmaus. He opened the understanding of the two going to Emmaus. He opened the understanding to those that was you know, the disciples when they gathered. Glad to have a visitor with us. See? And in doing that, when he opened their understanding, that didn't give them the new birth. They still had to wait until Calvary was, you know, the finish of Calvary for their selves, dying out to their selves enough and going to the upper room to receive, you know, and the day of Pentecost coming. All right? So now we don't do that either. So I want you to look at some of the things the prophet says, but notice what he's talking about. He's talking about something already in existence. Because you see, that's where people are not looking at it right. We're looking at it that one day we're going to come, instead of looking at what is. Well, I tell you though, if we was, you know, if we, you had what you think, then you could just come and deliver me. If you got what you think you got, come on.
Come on. That's it.
Right. I accept my part of it. I'll be glad to pray the prayer of faith.
Right.
Lay hands on you, do anything you want to. But the healing's in you.
Amen.
It's not in me. Jesus said, I can't do nothing except my Father shows me. Alright. See, don't blame everybody else for our unbelief. Let's accept what we've got and then move on with it. Alright. Now watch what he starts telling us. How that you're adopted into the body of Christ. See. Now, get the point now. Spiritual adoption. The new birth into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then we talk about adoption coming to where you're predestinated unto adoption. You know that everybody in the Bible was not predestinated unto adoption? Or else Paul wouldn't have said that. See? In Ephesians, he said predestinated unto adoption. The prophet said that's this end time people that's the ones that's predestinated. Remember, there's a word or seed to be made alive by every age. But this is the age for all of the word to be made alive. All right. Now, listen to what he's saying in Christ, 1955, 221 in Phoenix. And through the blood you become part of him into the same cell that he came out of. And then what? And the very presence and part of God comes into you. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? I like that. Into the same cell that he came out of. Now that's not talking about blood, right? I'm talking about spiritual conditions. See? The very presence and part of God comes into you. By faith you purchase it. And that same Holy Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you. And then you are sons and daughters of God, adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ into the body of Christ. See? When you receive the new birth, you're adopted into the family of Christ. See? The same life that was in him is then in you. As a baby, yes. But it's there. See? DNA in the natural proves whether you're children or not. Huh? DNA in the spiritual, what do you do with the word? Where I think Pentecost failed, 1955, 11:11. Oh, he's real. Adopted by the Father into the fellowship and into the body of believers by the Holy Ghost. And a vindicated ministry proven. You don't have to talk so much about it. God does his own talking. Let's see, into the body of believers. You say, well, that's only when it comes to the final adoption. It's all right. I like what he goes. I like to read this, so let's read it. Now, if we have went to seeking the giver, if we had have went to seeking the giver instead of the gifts. Now, listen to it. I believe the church would have been further up the road. Don't you think so? If we'd stayed close to God and loved him and just kept living for him, and not trying to push things over, just live for God and live a pure, holy life and live and pray every day. Keep yourself refreshed in His presence. God will take care of the rest of it. I like that. Because you see, that's what I've always tried to get you to see. If I have the giver, I have a gift. But I can have gifts without having the giver. Right? Satan can pass out supernatural gifts. That's what your prophet said. The gifts and callings are without repentance. That's what the Bible says. But you see, if we just sought the giver instead of the gifts. All right? That's all I've ever tried to do now. Just you do what you want to with the wording, the way I say it. Come, let us reason together, 1955, 1004. Now, but we are sons of God like He was, but adopted sons of God by His grace. Watch. By the death of Jesus, God's Son, brings us into relationship to God. Now then, God with His adopted sons has said in the church, some apostles, prophets, evangelists. See? Brother Branham can talk about adoption and talking about a new birth. See, when you mention adoption to people in this message, it's whammo, way up through, you know, going on up. I believe you're born into the family of God. I believe you're adopted into the family of God by the new birth. Souls in Prison, 1963, 11:10, the morning service. Look down at what's underlined. You read the rest of it. I just give you that to save time. There's three offices of one God. It's three attributes, the same God. You're a part of God, and I'm a part of God. But I'm not all of God, and neither are you all of God. See? It's attributes of God upon us as sons adopted by Jesus Christ, which God Himself become flesh to die for us. See? Okay. Raising Jairus' daughter, 1956, 731, talking about the dove and all, and how they've come together. The lamb was one creature, and the dove was another. Now He's manifested in your flesh by being adopted sons and daughters to the kingdom of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right, and you become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, church, you got the power if you got the faith to use it with. See? But if you make everything way up here, see, way up there, you know, and then how are you going to get up there? That's why I said three stages. Justification. It takes the Holy Spirit to justify you. It takes the Holy Spirit to sanctify you. It takes the Holy Spirit to give you new birth. The Holy Spirit comes in a new birth and gives you adoption into the family of God, making you a child of God. Heir of all things, but yet we're under the tutor, which is the Holy Spirit, until the training time comes, the second stage, authority. Then we can talk about the redemption of the body. But listen, you got a lot more of them. I just won't fool with it, because I'm not trying to prove a point other than one thing. You go ahead and read them. I believe that we're adopted into the family of God by the new birth. But then we must grow in grace and knowledge. It took the prophet 30 years, 33 I think it was, to preach the stature of perfect man. Now that's what he said. He said, I've been all these years, 30 years, something years. And we've been 40 something years since the prophet left the scene. And people are going haywire, and we don't know what to do, we don't know what's going on, we don't have none, we don't have this, we don't have that. And then somebody jumps up and gets a little thing started, especially a young minister. He jumps up and he starts running real good with it and get a little move going among the people, and everybody just flocks after him. See, trying to find something. Well, I thought my tutor was inside of me. I enjoy all of those things too, but it's like I've always said, leave them alone. You don't need an arguing with them, fussing with them, leave them alone. They'll run their course, and when they run their course, they'll settle down and become good sons and daughters of God, good preachers. If not, they'll go on off in the garbage cans. So don't worry about it. See, for 40-something years, I've tried to get you to see who you are. You are a child of God by the new birth. You know what would be the biggest shame and disgrace for them to ask me to run for president of the United States? That'd be a shame and a disgrace. Because I'd have to step down as a preacher or pastor to become president. Now, I'd give up the greatest office there is in the world to take this cheapest garbage can. Boy, you don't like, no, I ain't got no problem with Obama. He's done just as good. McCain would have done no different. I've told you that. You can argue all you want to about this, that, or the other about doing it. My Bible says God puts in kings and takes out kings. Last time I voted was John F. Kennedy. I found out he was a Catholic, and I helped put him in office. I ain't voted since then. Huh? You vote and do what you want to. I'm just telling you. Because I'm not trying to be no lordship of nothing. I'm just telling you how I am. But you see, it wouldn't make no difference who they put in the White House. Brother Brown said put a George Washington and Abraham Lincoln in every office. Amen. Is that what he said? He said you couldn't pull it out. Now, it looked like we couldn't. No, you can't, because it's doomed for that.
Right.
Amen. Enjoy what we can while we're here. Because the money in your pocket can be your doom.
Right.
What did the prophet say? Keep you home? Belong to the World Council of Churches or something like that, or the Catholic Church. That's up to you. That's up to me. See, we're going to have a time we're going to have to prove what we are. But if we're not the children of God, sugar tit fed, until we grow up into sons and daughters of a living God. And see, that way God knows how to raise His children. He don't raise His children by pouring everything in the world onto them. May I quote your prophet? He's talking about the tutor, the Holy Spirit, reporting to the Father, and said, I made them sick. Oh. He said, I made them the life and stock of the community. We got a good father, but it's just hard sometimes to understand him. Right? Sometimes it's hard. Why am I sick and everything else? Everybody else is just going, well. When we do that, see, then we're failing the test. I got a funny way of doing things. I know it. I'm human. But, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and aggravated or whatever. But you know, in a few minutes, what I start doing? I start laughing. Had something happen the other day, and a little old ring wouldn't stay on a key thing. And finally, I just pulled a thing off and just throwed it down. You know, walked out in the yard, and now I didn't get no shovel for it. No difference in it. I walk out in the yard and things are dropping all over the place, and I'm just saying, well, my goodness, I can't even hold on to nothing. You know, in a few minutes, I started just dying laughing. I did. If you'd have seen me, you thought, what in the world is that crazy nut doing? I was just dying laughing. Because, hey, you fail the test. What is the word we say? You got to take it again. That's growth development. You got to take the test again. So you might as well laugh and get ready for the test. Right? See, things are going to go wrong. And our Father allows it. He said He would allow someone to say something to you to see how you would react. And I gave you the story about it. You know, remember the man when Brother Brown spoke to Sister Hattie Wright and said, you know, about the squirrels and the things. And he had shot that squirrel and couldn't find it. And that brother prayed that night and said, now, Lord, to show that Brother Branham's right, said, let him find that squirrel. Well, boy, everybody, Brother Branham and everybody, read the message. Everybody was upset with him. But when they asked him about it later, he didn't realize he prayed that away. See? God knows how to train His children. He knows how to train that prophet. He knows how to train me and you. Child training. But what does it come out to be? See, you and I, by the opening of the Word, now this is what I've taught you, right? Since about 1980, I've taught you one thing. How do we grow up the stature of a perfect man? How do we have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godly, brotherly kind? Well, I got to have it, so I'll just have it. Now, that don't work, does it? It's by the opening of the Word.
Right.
That's all I've ever tried to preach to you, then, is the Word, where you can make a choice. By the opening of the Word, as I said the other day, the Lord Jesus preached six seals on his way to Calvary. Brother Branham preached six seals on his way to rejection by mankind. Why is the people so scared of the seals and the Daniel 70 weeks and the thing? When he said in the Daniel 70 weeks, if you don't understand this, you'll miss it in the seals. But yet nobody wants to know anything about those things. But that's the things that I've tried to break down to you, to where at least to give you a choice of whether you could hear the both sides of the story, if nothing else, of what the prophet had to say. Because you see, it's not, I'll bring it in this evening, we'll get into it, it's not the redemption of the body. See, that's where you're looking at it. Well, one of these days I'll be adopted. I'll step in that new body. Well, we got to get there. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to Mount of Transfiguration, and the next 6 months was the most horrible time of his life. You agree? 6 months, 3 months, whatever you want to make it. You know what I'm talking about. When he left Mount of Transfiguration, he's headed straight to Calvary. The Garden of Gethsemane, death to himself, yielding up all that he had. And Brother Branham comes along and follows the same line. Because of this, on the seventh seal, he said, thousands of my friends will leave me. Yeah. Well, don't you think you and I are going to go through the same thing? I've never believed in it, and I've never taught you that the bride's going through the tribulation. You know better. I've never done it. But I have taught you that we need persecution. Because the prophet says the church always does better under persecution. Now, that's the words of your prophet. When you got a good footbill, you know, got a big old belly full of banana pudding, you ain't interested in eating again. Right? But about 3 or 4 hours later, you're wanting something to eat. Right? They thank God for the rain we just received. You remember what I said last Sunday? Somebody touched God. And you know what I said? I said, it's not for me. I said, I've had my day. I've seen rain come and I've seen rain leave. I've seen God move. I don't ask him anymore that way. Sure, I ask him for rain because we need it. But I ask him to let me preach the gospel to where some of you can stand up and say, I'm going to say it will get rain. Somebody touched God. And we got a good raining. Right? So I want you to see God. I don't have to see him to believe him. I've already seen more than the abundance of what most people will ever see. But yet, I want to see a bride that will take God's word and put our little silly feelings in the seat end of our britches and take the britches and throw them away. Everybody says sit down on them. You sit down on them, you're just going to get back up with the same old britches on. Right? Throw them away. Throw our feelings, our little way of petty, you know, and stand on God's word. And say, Lord, if you never heal me again. You ever heard your prophet say that? If you never heal me again, Lord, I still believe you're a healer. He said, if I was praying tonight and he said, pray for 1,000 and every one of them died, he said, tomorrow night, I'd be praying. Right? Because you see, child training. Come on, brother. Child training. Read the rest of these quotes and you'll see what I'm talking about. They're just dealing basically with showing you that Brother Branham would be talking about now we are the sons and daughters of God, because that's what the scripture says. It says now we are the sons of God. Let's just believe what God has made us. We are his children. We're his offspring. We're joint heirs. Whatever he has, we own exactly the same thing. I don't own half of what Jesus owned. That's not the Bible. I own everything he owned.
Right.
Right. Well, I tell you what, if he just had it, we could do it. Well, stick around. But you see, people don't see the little things that God does. Where's Brother Richard? Give him a testimony. Go ahead.
The other day when I came up, it was Sunday evening, wasn't it? And I've had a real bad pain in my heart, and I had swelling around my chest there, and the devil has been telling me all year long. My dad had open heart surgery when he was 59 years old. And I know I don't look it, but I'm 59. But praise the Lord, he touched me, and I have been feeling so much better.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for it.
Because it's believing. It's believing him. And just ask him. Just ask him and believe. And see. God is with us. But see, we get our eyes looking for something, and we miss exactly what God's doing. Go ahead. Let's stand together. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
271, the course.
Anybody else? When you get a testimony that God's touched you, you let me know. We'll be glad to put it on here.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, joined heir with Jesus, and we travel in a shore. For I'm all
our brother fell off of a, like going down a ramp, you know, and fell about 5 feet and bummed up his shoulder, and his arm scratched up and his hand swelled up. So let's just pray and believe. Let's just believe it. It's not something hard to do, is it? To ask God to do what he's saying. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing with the body of Jesus Christ, the believer standing here in this congregation around the world, that our brother is healed. Now take away the pain, the problems, and the things away from his arm and shoulder. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just go believe it and see. Anybody else? Just in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, join heirs with Jesus. Join heirs of the family. A child of God is join heirs with Jesus Christ. And you know who he is? He's Almighty God. We're not joint heirs with Jesus and him being high for God. That'd be fine with me, because I'd still have within me what I needed. But I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ by the new birth. He owns all of heaven, because he told me. All power in heaven and earth, he said, is given unto me. So he's given that to us. You believe it? Just accept it. Just say, by his stripes I'm healed. Travel is. Sicker you get, the more you say it. What was the last thing that we all said together Sunday? It's going to rain. Right? It's going to rain. You know what? It did. Well, that's just an accident. Well, that's all right. I'll take all the accidents I can get, as long as it helps my garden. But you see, I believe in a God who's real. And he's trying to reveal himself to us. That's all I'm trying to do, is reveal him to you. Because what did we find in the adoption? The word manifest. To make known. All I'm trying to do is make my Father known to you by preaching the gospel. Then he's automatically going to make you known. You make him known to the people around you. You make him known to the people at work. And you watch him make you known. It's just, it's too much to not think about God is real. One more time, anybody, before we go. I'm a part of the family of God. Doors in his fountain, cleansed by the blood. Join heirs with Jesus as I travel this life. God of the family of God. Father, just bless us as we go be separate for a little while and eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this afternoon. Let your loving grace be with each and every one of us. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy love and keep us in thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.